Мы начинаем наше второе заседание, и сейчас у нас доклады и дискуссия, которые будут вести Эмма Волох. Я ее уже представила в начале нашей конференции, но для тех, кто не пришел, начал вторушку. Эмма — художественный критик и писатель, и автор первой монографии «Белье Кабакова». Также я хотела сказать, что Эмма входит в состав совета организации CCRT, которая помогала организовывать эту конференцию. И вот уже с моментом хочу сказать, что надо поблагодарить всех, кто поддержал эту конференцию, а именно фонд Форда, американский фонд The Trust for Mutual Understanding и американский фонд The Catherine Family Foundation. Ну, возвращаясь к нашему докладчику, сегодня выступает Эмма, Джерман Мичелл. Я думаю, что многие из его знают, поскольку он является главным куратором Музея современного искусства Салмона Гугенхайма.
Germano Chalat is the curator of this exhibition for the Guggenheim Museum.
Да, и также главный редактор журнала «Art Forum Interview» и главный куратор 47-й Венецианской биеннале. Также в панели участвует Джонатан Файнберг, профессор школы искусства и дизайна Университета Иллинойса в США и автор книг об искусстве после 40-го года, а также монография о Кандинском, Христо и так далее. И куратор выставки Илья Кабаков в Кранер Арт Музеум. Также будет участвовать Олеся Туркина, которая сейчас не произойдет. Она кандидат искусствоведения, сотрудник отдела новейших течений Государственного русского музея и также курировала российский павильон на 48-й Венецианской биеннале. Пожалуйста.
We'll begin with Germano Chalat.
I've been following a little bit Ilya and Emilio. I didn't prepare any paper. I'm a very kind of situationist intervention. And I was struck to see the slides presented by Michael, the piece 1970-1971. Answer of the experimental group, because I didn't know the piece, and it struck me the presence of an object, was an object that was very common at the time, a small train. The small train had been shared by, you know, at the time, by a lot of artists, you know, the idea of mobile elements, you know, from Canales to Boyles, Calzolai, a lot of people include the train as a part of their pieces. And the train, if you know, I'm not a historian, the train has a lot of meaning for this generation. A lot of meaning means, you know, is the traveling from one place to another, but also, if I have to do a reference that I think is appropriate for Ilya works, is the reference to the Chirico. The Chirico reference is kind of, nobody touched the figurative part of avant-garde, nobody touched the elements of a space that is related to an suspended space. And that's, you know, I would like to discuss a little bit this kind of approach, because I think for Ilya, work, the emptiness, the solitude, and the suspended space is very metaphysical in a certain way. Especially look from the Western point of view, because as Rob Stor was saying before, you know, there are two different approaches, naturally, the inside approach here from your point of view of your culture, and the European. And as I look more and more the environment of Ilya, and I can see a lot of reference to the history of Russian avant-garde, but also there is a strong reference of a certain period in time, which is 68-70s. And the idea of transit, the idea of going not from one place to another, but to from one place to the same place, which means it's a different way of transit. All the historical avant-garde has the idea of a goal. You know, all the historical avant-garde has the idea of a utopia, to achieve a certain station in history. And if you think about a certain generation that didn't believe anymore, a little bit in the utopia, but not too much anymore, because they were more disenchanted or kind of more cynical in a good way, you know, they were looking more towards reality. And that's a generation after the post-war, you know, after the 50s and the 60s, you know, all the utopia of art and the utopia of changing reality after two wars was over, you know, and after the reality of, you know, the social reality that Europe went through were really kind of disillusioned completely. So the idea of transit, to go from one place to the other, the idea of achieving something, has changed. And in the 60s, the idea is just to say we are in transit, we move, we are activating certain space. And that, I think, is the connection with the Chirico. The Chirico never say where the train goes. It's passing in time. It's passing from one environment to another, but without having a goal, without having a specific perspective. It's not the case, and the multilingual analysis of Robert is very important, because the Chirico use multi-perspectives. There's a lot of multi-perspectives when you analyze space. And the Kierkegaard joins all the perspectives in only one space, a square, mostly, or a train, or a balcony, and so on. So I think that the train is a very important element, not the other part, for me anyway, from my generation, my way of saying that there is an analysis to be done, but without a goal, because this would be romantic. This would be totally, you know, the idea that you can change the world, you can change something. While my generation, I think the lead generation, we are totally disillusioned about the possibility. And so the idea of transit from one place to the other, we are always transiting in space. There's another part that the history of art done from the Western point of view, or say more American point of view, is to always point at the hero, only one artist, which is Picasso, which is Duchamp, which is Pollock. The European point of view is more, let's say, ideological or total. Not in the sense of totalitarianism, but the idea of totality. We come from the Baroque culture, where there is no distinction between any elements. You are coming from this kind of context. Painting, drawings, sculpture, architecture, it is a total element. And our avant-garde in Europe, let's say, futurists mostly, were dealing with the total space. The idea of futurism or constructivism in Russia and in Italy were with the idea of a totality, without any distinction. And that's another historical reference that has been removed by, let's say, the Anglo-Saxon point of view, because it was connected with the ideology. Nature of the Russian constructivism was communist, and Italian futurism was fascist. But that is a kind of moralistic removal. The language of the historical avant-garde is more important for today, for the totality, than for the individuals. So if we have to write again the history of art, we have to approach more the total vision of avant-garde, not the individuality. So that's the individuality is a kind of puritanical approach. You make only the formal aspect of the artist. While we are trained, I'm European, and you know, and it is, let's say, European, is the total vision. We don't do distinction. There is no distinction. Our avant-garde, there was no individuality. It was always the idea of global condition of an action. And that's why the history of art, the Anglo-Saxon history of art, has removed environment, the history of environment is gone. Also because the market has split and sell everything, and the environment is not kept. We only kept the painting, and the environment got destroyed. And so the history of art has been, you know, from the idea of what is not the totality. And that's what we have been trained, you know, to look at the history of art in a certain way, protagonism. While media work, I think, is totally connected with the vision of which is Russian, which is totally European, no distinction. No distinction between drawing, painting, advertising, fashion, everything. That's what, you know, the idea of a totality is, the idea that is a global artist, not only formal. So all the ideology of approach, and that's why, you know, trying to make the point of the Chirico, is that you have a subject and you cross all through with so many arrows. You know, for us history is a kind of San Sebastian. You know, you cross through and you find so many sensitive points you touch. And I think Ilya's work has to be read in this kind of perspective, which is, seems, for a Western point of view, kind of realistic, but it's the way of operating. And my question here to raise today is, if there is this kind of metaphysical element, what means to come back to reality here? You know, why, when we approach media work or media work in the Western culture, we see it as kind of outer space, which is a quotation, there are the emotional part, there's all the history of what is the past of Russia, blah, 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 and become a kind of interpretation or a dream analysis of the work. Now that it's coming here, and the space is exactly as thousands of other spaces, what means for the audience? What means for Ilya himself? You know, he's not bringing anymore, you know, a toilet where you live, because there are toilets here where people live. You're not bringing anymore a closet where you have everything for your survival. Here, there are people surviving this way. So, I have no discussion to do about the idea that either represent the future or represent a way of dreaming a house. I'm dealing more with the idea that it's bringing reality to reality. And this metaphysical element of Ilya becomes now realistic, that's the question. It's becoming ambiguous in a positive way, because it's bringing exactly what you see or what you live. So in a certain way, what I'm trying to say is that if you move the context of the Ilya work was a Western, and then it was analyzed as a reference to the history of Russian avant-garde, but radical against the history of Russian avant-garde, because it was using kind of a realistic environment. But now that it's bringing here the realistic environment, what means for the communication of this work? And that's the question that has to be raised when you move the context, because all this work has been dealing with the context, but now the context is a mirror, is exactly the same. So the question, I think, that is important for him and for us to analyze, now that the displacement doesn't happen anymore. When Robert was talking about displacement, that was the kind of radical effect outside of the, you know, outside of Russia. But now there is implementation, is emplacing the same thing in the same context. The museum is not enough to say, oh, it's a Hermitage, because everybody recognizes what becomes a realistic environment or is a critical environment. And that, I think, is the question that would be nice to discuss, because moving the object, you know, from here, from the United States to here, means a lot of questions. From a Russian, it's the same for an Italian bringing something to Italy back and becoming what? Critical or the analytical and the critical part disappears. Thank you.